Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody, especially our visitors. We have a number of visitors with us, some all the way from Texas. We're very glad to have you and glad that you came to worship with us today. You know, the word great is one of those words that a lot of people use and sometimes overuse. I know I catch myself over, you know, saying something is great. Oh, the meal was great. You know, this movie was great. Whatever. But there are some scriptures, and that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at John 3:16, and it's a great scripture.
Amen.
I mean, all scripture is inspired by God. Case closed. But some scriptures, God was doing good on this one. I just want us to read this and really kind of break it down and look at it in the form of greatness. It says, and Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This is a scripture that we hear from our childhood Bible classes. You know, if people are able to memorize scripture, a lot of times this is one they know. You know, of all the scriptures, a lot of times people know this one. I want us to look at what this is saying. I know I have many times glossed over a passage, a scripture, sometimes even just a word. Just go over it real quick without, I see the word, but I go over it too fast. And I'd like for us to look at this passage today. "For God, the greatest, so loved the world," that's the greatest love ever, "that he gave his only begotten Son," the greatest gift, "that whoever believes in him," the greatest requirement, "should not perish," greatest fear, "but have everlasting life," the greatest promise.
Amen.
So when I say this is a great scripture, it really is. And I'd like for us to look at these real quick. The greatest is God. Case closed. Not a lot of explanation needed for that. The greatest, period. Genesis 1:1, the Bible starts out, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That says it all right there. In Exodus 3, verse 14, when Moses had been called to lead the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt, and Moses, this is a good study. We've looked at this before. You got to give Moses, he gave it the college try. He tried everything he could to wiggle out of not being the guy. But one of his concerns is, well, what am I going to say when the people is worried about others? But when the people, he says, and when the people say, "Who sent you?" They want credibility. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Who's this God that sent you to be our leader? Why don't we get a say in it? Who did this? I am. That says it all. So for God so loved the world, the greatest love says he so loved, for God so loved the world. There is no greater love than that. There is a sacrifice was required to be made. A sacrifice that none of us, nobody that ever lived, was worthy enough to offer that sacrifice except the Son of God. And God so loved the world, that's the greatest love that could ever be explained. In Romans 5, Paul, the Apostle Paul, explains, starting in verse 6, says, for when we were still without strength, some versions say, when we were still helpless, in due time, at the exact perfect time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
What an amazing, amazing love that was. The greatest gift, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I've had some unbelievable gifts. Looking back, loved birthdays and Christmas and stuff, anticipating a certain present or something, and then when I'd finally get that item that I'd been wanting forever and a day, it seemed like, I was just elated. None of them compare to the gift that God gave his only begotten Son. Not one of many. Didn't give one of his sons and still has plenty left. The word here, begotten, is monogenēs. It means the unique, only one of its kind. That's what he gave as that gift for us. There is no greater gift than that. In Hebrews 10, starting in verse 10, it reads, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That's the gift that was given to us. The Son that was not only was he the high priest that offered the sacrifice, he was the sacrifice. The greatest requirement, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, this is the foundation. I'm not saying that belief is more important than other acts of obedience, but this comes first. This is the foundation. You can't repent unless you believe. Amen. You can't. You're not going to be baptized unless you believe. Mm-hmm. You're not going to go profess and confess Jesus to others unless you believe. Amen. It's the greatest requirement. In John 8:24, Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." If you don't believe that I am He, well, of course, you're Jesus. No, unless you believe that I am the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God. That's the foundational. Without that, you're not going to confess, as Jesus said in Matthew 10:32. Without that belief, you're not going to repent of your sins, as was commanded in Luke 13. You're not going to be baptized. Like Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." You're not going to remain faithful unless you believe. Belief. Belief that He is the Son of God. Belief that God sent Him. Belief that there is a God. That's the foundation. The greatest requirement. And it's a requirement of us. That's something that we have to do. The greatest fear that if you believe Him, you should not perish. Doesn't mean you won't, but you should not. In Isaiah 59, verse 2, it reads, "But your iniquities, our sins, our actions, have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear." There was a time when we were separated from God. That's scary. That's scary. In Matthew 13, it reads, "The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." I can remember as a teenager, other people that I was aware of, and this is not necessarily right or wrong, some were moved to be baptized out of the immense love. When they realized how much love God had for them and how much love Jesus had for them, that it was the natural outcropping of wanting to follow Him. What moved me, I didn't want to go to hell. Verses like this kind of shook me by the collar type. I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to be where there was wailing and gnashing of teeth. 2 Thessalonians, Paul would write about the coming of that day in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those, on two kinds of people. Taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. But there was a way out. And God loved us enough that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, the greatest promise ever known to man. Don't you get disappointed sometimes when people say things and they don't live up to it? Maybe make you a promise and they don't fulfill. Kind of like a preacher that said they would bring cheese pizza and the kids reminded him, you didn't deliver. You know, that's a disappointment. It's a disappointment. This greatest promise is everlasting life. 1 John 1:7, the Apostle John recorded, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
That we don't have to be separated from God. That we can be cleansed. For God, the very next verse of our verse that we've been looking at. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
What a glorious thought. All out of one relatively small verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those of us that have believed and repented and confessed and put our Lord on in baptism, we're covered with that blood. And we are saved. We don't have to worry about that man's death that we'll all face. Those of us that have not done that, and as the scripture we read said, that flaming judgment's going to come on two kinds of people, those that don't know God and those that don't obey the gospel. If you haven't put your Lord on in baptism, we have the opportunity to do that today. Those of us that have, we still have the requirement of remaining faithful until death. If we can be of service to you through prayer, if you need to repent of sin, whatever your need, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation. We'll address your needs. Let's stand and sing together.